it's time to take a listen to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life, our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. Island Life is brought to you by Placemakers every Saturday morning from 10 till 12. Last Saturday, Dion caught up with Di from Waiheke Library, Kim Green from new adult shop Fantasy Island, Craig Brown, who's teaching a course on sustainability at the Waiheke Night School, and of course, Steve the Butcher. But first up, Di Stoddart.
Joining us in the studio, we have Di from the library. Good morning, Di.
Hi, Dion. Kia ora.
Got my voice going.
Yep, got your voice going. bit of a warm-up this morning. So how's it going at the library? It is school holidays.
It is holidays, yeah. It's extremely busy. It's been interesting because we've had feedback from Central Library that all sites throughout Auckland City are 20% busier, which is a lot of books, and it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think it's a national trend, and we think that the recession is bringing people into the library, and because there's so much choice of what you can do there, it's all free, you know. So I think it has had an impact in that way. And so with the holiday program, we always have a holiday program.
Yep. And a great one, I have to say.
Yeah, it is. It's getting more and more popular. So it's free as well, which is some of the preschool, or not the preschool, but the holiday program programs aren't free. So the library's always free. So I think it's really important for the public to realise that.
Yeah. And it's not just books that you've got. I mean, you've got DVDs as well.
And CDs and audio and CDs books. And what's really growing on our website are the e-books. The downloadable media. So you can actually read a book online through our website, or you can download it onto your MP3 or your iPod. And there's that collection is growing. And so, because a lot of the teens are into downloading material.
Yeah.
So we're keeping up with those trends and having more on offer. So that's all through the digital library in our website, which is AucklandCityLibraries.com. So I think more people don't realise that facility
it
can be borrowed through that. You know, it's all electronically borrowed, and you get the books for 2 weeks. Yeah, so, you know, have a go at that if you're at home and you want to, you know, peruse the downloadable media.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. So, yeah, and for the little ones, there's puzzles, and there's all of the learning to read books when they're just starting to learn to read. And the graphic collection's also a big one that's growing as well. And because the most important thing for reading is that they're actually physically doing it, turning pages, enjoying it, just doing that pattern and creating that habit of being in that space where you're reading. And research is showing that it doesn't matter a lot what you read. And some people read comics, and some people read newspapers or magazines or books. It's just the act of reading, and parents encouraging that through obviously reading to them, and having lots of books in the house, and modelling reading to the little ones. So we would like to see more families come along and join, I must say. And it is free to join.
And it's great if you can bring things up on the computer too, if you can, you know, download that book. And, I mean, you know, if your kid's so into your computer, there you go. You've got the book on the computer.
Yeah. I might as well mention this while we're onto it. There's Tumble Reads is for the younger ones, and if you access Tumble Reads through our website, the little book actually turns pages in front of you, and you can slow it down, you can speed it up, you can have the words highlighted so that the child's reading and hearing and seeing the word as it's being read.
That's
and that's all really helpful for, you know, learning
for
to
learning.
Read.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the website?
AucklandCityLibraries.com.
www.AucklandCityLibraries.com. There you go. Check it out. It's school holidays.
Okay, so school holidays. Yeah, we've got the holiday program, which has been really successful. The theme is communication. And last week we had, at 11 o'clock on Wednesday, we had a little spy skit.
Yeah.
And we had how to be a spy. And then they made a spy code wheel, and that so they could write their own little secret codes, and then give it to somebody else, and they had to figure out what the code
was. Decipher the code.
And so that was really, really popular.
That's so fun.
And then this week at 11 o'clock, we're actually focusing on Braille, because that's also our mode of communication. And we have a lovely man, which a lot of people know on the island, Don McKenzie.
Yeah.
And he's coming in to read us a story in Braille, and he's going to give us a sentence in Braille that we have to decipher.
Yeah.
And he's also and bringing some of his tools along that he uses to, you know, as a blind person. So, families are welcome. It is aimed at primary school children. It's not really a preschool thing at all. So do come along. That's next Wednesday, 11 o'clock. So that's the holiday program.
I might have to be a kid for the day.
The parents enjoy it just as much, I must say. And we all learn heaps, so it's neat having the visitors come in. And then there is, with the holiday program, there's an online competition. So if you go to the homepage, you'll see April holidays, and you click on that, and there's a deciphering to be done. You know, there's hieroglyphics, and there's maybe Braille and semaphore.
Yeah.
And Morse code, and they have to decipher.
Oh, cool.
So that's quite neat, and you can enter that online. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay, so the other thing that we're being involved in is, which is, it was in the paper last week, and it's going to be in the paper again this week, and it's the screen-free Waiheke. And we thought it's perfect for the library to be involved as well. Tanya Batt, of course, has instigated it.
Wonderful Tanya Batt.
Yeah, and so we thought, right, I'm going to hop on this one as well. So we're having an all-day readathon in the library on Friday. So that's next Friday. Not the date, 22nd, that's the 24th.
The 24th?
24th of April.
Yep.
All day, so coming into the library, instead of just sort of borrowing books and going, staying in there, having a wee read for 10 minutes, and we're going to log how many, you know, the minutes that we read all day long in the library. So that's all ages, you know, it could be grandma reading to their granddaughter, or a person reading the paper, or, you know, kids on beanbags reading their books.
Yeah.
And logging it on our reading thermometer.
Yeah.
Reading gauge. Yeah.
Oh, great.
So that's that. So we're going to be, and then also all day long, board games.
Yeah.
So either, you know, bring along your board game, meet new people, play the games like Scrabble, backgammon, chess, and drafts.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to have the boards there, but I think we might need more. So if people want to come along and play board games in the library, or maybe create knockout tournaments, and it's a good way to meet new people as well. So that's, I think that's really neat if teens and kids want to come in, but of course any age.
So that's next Friday the 24th of April.
All day reading and all day board games.
And this is in support of the
screen free
Waiheke.
Challenging everybody to turn off the screen, whether it's a
no one's excluded.
Yeah, no.
Come
and
on,
there's
people.
Like the TV screen, there's
the computer,
computer,
and all those PlayStation and Xbox games.
So read books, play games, play cards, go for a walk.
Come up to library, like play board
here,
games.
Right. Tanya says, stand on your head.
Go.
All sorts of things.
On your head.
So it is a nice day for families to connect and communicate.
Take your dog out for a walk.
Yeah, just cuddle up and read a book. And
yeah.
It is the holiday, so you're not at school. And everybody can have their screens off.
Oh, what
see
a
how
great
the energy
idea.
And the family changes for the day.
It will change. It will surprise you. So dare to do it, people.
Yes.
Dare to turn off those TV screens and computers.
And then at Artworks all day here on Friday, there's like a pledge to see how many hours you're going to turn your screen off.
Yeah.
To sign that it's all Tanya's thing happening at the Storytelling Centre. Shared lunch in the courtyard. Yeah, so it should be a good day up here.
It's all on
and
up
the radio
here.
Will promote it, I'm sure.
Of course. And we will be here cranking the music.
That's
you know,
right.
You can sit in the courtyard with your book. I've
that's
been
right.
to the library, sit in the sun.
Peaceful music playing in the background.
That's right. So it's all happening
okay,
up here.
So the third thing I wanted to mention was we've got a local author called Liz Jamison Hastings.
She just published
a book called Still Standing, From Debutante to Detox.
Ooh.
So she's had a really interesting life. She was brought up quite privileged. I think that was in England. It might have been New Zealand. I should know that. And also she then fell off the rails big time. Alcoholic.
Yeah.
When she was quite young, alcoholic, bulimic, anorexic.
Oh,
ended
gosh.
Up in Oakley. Oh, she must have been in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Ended up in Oakley Hospital, which back in the 60s would have been
awful.
Yeah, a while
ago.
And
awful.
With the threat of a lobotomy. So she kind of... Anyway, she ran away from there, of course, and still was drinking, ended up going to England, still drinking, ended up being hospitalised and really, really, really sick. And anyway, so, and then she went to a nunnery, I think, and that didn't really work. But in the end, she did end up meeting a group of recovered alcoholics, and it absolutely turned her life around. So she's just this really awesome woman who now works at Paremo Remo and does talks about alcoholism and what it actually is to lots of groups, all sorts of groups, including people in Paremo Remo and other jails. And apparently her method, which she learnt from the US Navy, I think, that, and worked with alcoholics, recovering alcoholics there as well, she's got this amazing, well, it's a program that she has, and huge respect from all the people that she works with. So it's her story of her life, which is going to be really fascinating and informative and really insightful about what addictions are. And so we've invited her to talk, you know, an author talk. We've got the Community Education Centre next Thursday, which is the 23rd
Thursday, and
so
the community
7:30 Community Education Centre,
which is up at the high school, by the gymnasium.
We'll have Liz Jameson Hastings doing a talk about her book and her life, and entry by Koha. And there'll be a little cup of tea afterwards and books to sign. I think Take Note will be there.
Oh, I'm going to come along
and support a local. We don't have any many authors coming to talk and share their books that they've published. So do come along and enjoy her. She's very personable and vivacious, and I think she'll be a really good person to listen to and learn from as well.
Awesome.
There you go, Dion.
Hey, thank you, Di. That sounds great. And that sounds really cool that we've got a local author that we can get up there and support. So that's next Thursday evening, 7:30 at the Community Education Centre, which is up by the big gymnasium, if you don't know where that is.
On Donald Bruce Road.
So awesome. And that school holiday program, don't forget, it is screen free Waiheke next Friday, the 24th.
The holiday program on Wednesday at 11. All
it's
very busy.
All going on at the library. Hey, thank you, Di.
That author talk by Liz Jamison Hastings is at 7:30 on Thursday the 23rd of April at the Community Education Centre, Donald Bruce Road. Waiheke Radio hope to record that talk, so listen out for more information or check out www.waihekeradio.org.nz.
Now, joining me on the phone this morning is Miss Kim Green from Fantasy Island, the new sex shop, which is opening up today, isn't it?
Yes, today. It's
today,
open.
Today in Ostend. And where can we find you?
Tahi Road, behind the oyster shop, behind Te Matuka Oysters.
There you go. And what sort of things can we find in your shop?
Oh, we've got costumes and very beautiful lingerie, of course, and DVDs. We've got all the latest DVDs. And all obviously toys and what have you, sex toys.
Yeah.
And what sort of bits and pieces, anything you want for your parties.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Now, it used to be up and running, and it was called, what was it called then, Bedrock or something?
Yes, it was called Bedrock a while ago,
So but now it's bigger and better, and it's called Fantasy Island. So if you want to maybe have a play with your partner, don't be shy, because it's a really kind of, like, I went up there yesterday, and it's not at all something you have to be shy about, is it? It's quite a welcoming fun little shop, and you've made it look really cool, and there's lots of fun stuff up there, and I'm loving all the costumes. Are you going to get more in?
Yeah, we are. We're going to get more costumes in, definitely. We've still got a lot of stuff on back order, because it comes from America. It's all good quality. And also, if you know you've got an event coming up, do come in and browse through our catalogue, and you can pre-order your own costume, and then it's all a little unique, and no one else will be wearing it, of course.
Ah, that's a great idea, because Waiheke's renowned for its dress-up parties. So.
Oh, yes, aren't they fun?
And even if you were thinking of having a party and making it dress-up, but thinking, oh, but there's no way to get costumes, wow, there is now. Fantasy Island.
There is indeed, I'm going to be doing hen's parties as well, so I've got lots of stuff for hen's parties, but we've got our mobile FPOS unit, so we can do parties at your own house if you want to.
There you go. God, even come to the door. That's fantastic. Hey, what sort of hours are you going to be open?
Saturday we're going to be open from sort of 9 till 2 at this stage.
Yeah.
I think we're going to close Sunday, Monday, Tuesday at this stage, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday will be afternoons.
Yeah.
Yeah, till about 7 p.m. at night.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we're all a bit new at the moment. We haven't actually decided the definite, but yeah. We'll put it out there in the papers, local papers.
Oh, that's great. Hey, best of luck to you with your new shop and your
Thank
venture.
You so much.
And I know exactly where to come to have a little look for some new toys and costumes for that next party that I want to dress up for. So that's
Absolutely.
Fantasy Island on Tahi Road behind the Oyster Shop, which is,
yes.
is it 38? Number 38?
13.
13B. Oh, I don't know where I got 38 from. 13B. There you go. Lucky number 13.
Absolutely.
And, and have a chat with Kim. If there's something there that you maybe that they don't have in stock, have a look through their catalogues and have a chat with her and you can put an order in. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks, Kim.
Cool, thank you.
Best of luck.
Rightio, I'll see you later on.
See ya.
Bye.
You're listening to Island Life, brought to you by Placemakers. Know how, can do.
Hey, joining me in the studio, we have Craig Brown, who is taking... Is this a... Good morning, Craig. I'm hitting him with loads of questions already. Hang on, let's get his microphone up. And Craig Brown is doing... Is this a new class or...?
Well, it's been run before, but it's been run in a shortened format. It's been run as a building, sustainable building course.
Okay. So Craig Brown is taking the sustainable living...
That's right.
Classes at the night school, which is starting up next term, and he is here to tell us all about it. Cool. Yes, Craig.
Okay, well, the course, it basically covers a number of topics, the topics we're covering this time will be energy, building, transport, and then water, and obviously associated things like wastewater and grey water.
Yeah.
Shopping, gardening... waste and reuse.
Awesome.
Okay. The thing to bear in mind with the course is it's not about me as an expert or indeed any of the people who are going to come in being experts and sort of clobbering people over the head with this is what you must do.
Yeah.
It's about building a group with the people who are going to be on the course. So that they can learn from each other, and indeed I can learn from them.
Yeah.
And basically giving them, sources of information.
Yeah.
And contacts to each other and to local community groups that can help them along.
Yeah.
And the idea is that, you know, those groups are going to become their own sustainability experts on their own lives.
Yeah.
Because obviously everyone has a different
Everyone's
life
different,
and a different lifestyle.
Different patterns. And
it's about helping people to support each other and building that group.
Yeah.
And so when we do get people coming in, and we're going to have the eco-design advisor for Auckland City is going to come over.
Yeah.
And so I said to him, look, you know, come all the way over from Auckland for the first hour.
Yeah.
And then go home again so that we can actually have the freedom to discuss what you've said to us.
Yeah.
So, you know, the group can feel free to get back into what we've been doing and actually, you know, rather than the next week when it's all been forgotten about, actually discuss it when it's fresh.
Yeah.
And there's going to be lots of people contributing.
Awesome.
So there's hopefully we'll have someone from the Waste Resource Trust. We'll have James Samuel from Transition Towns. He's going to be talking about that in Ubi.
Yeah.
We're going to have Lynn Stewart's going to take a trip to the Eco Village, and we're going to
awesome.
Get to poke around in some of the eco houses there. And also we've got Gabrielle Young, who's going to take a trip to the supermarket.
Yeah.
With a focus on finding the, how do you choose the more sustainable options?
Yeah.
It's a very practical course. We recognise that not everyone's going to grow all of their own food in their own garden.
Yeah.
It's about looking at all the little things that you can do in your life that are easy to do, or at least easy to do if you're helped to do it.
That's awesome. And so this course starts on the 4th of May, which is just over 2 weeks away.
That's right.
And it runs for how long?
It's an 8-week course.
Yep.
And it's 2 hours on a Monday night from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m.
Yeah. Nice. That's easy peasy. And what's the cost to do this course if people are keen?
Okay, the cost is $95.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, it's not too bad. one of the things with that is that we need to get a certain number of people to come along to make it actually run. You know, originally the cost was going to be more than $100, and so we brought it down, but we do need to
get the numbers,
encourage people to come along, yeah. Otherwise it just won't go ahead.
And if people are interested in doing it, where do they head to, or who do they run?
Well, for more information, you can go to the website sustainableliving.org.nz.
Yeah.
It's a nationwide course, yeah. And so there's information there, but it's been tailored specifically for Waihakeean. And then, of course, to book onto the course or to get more specific information, then people need to get in touch with the with Waihakeean Community Education, the night school that runs at the school there.
Awesome.
And so I understand you've got an advert for them, so I have the contact details.
I do, actually. I will run that before Island Life Show finishes.
Cool.
And make sure that people can see. There's a load of new courses that are coming up next term. I'm chasing the wrong mouse here. I was going to give you some more information, maybe try and find some contact details. There you go. No. You'll just have to listen out for that for the promo. But the sustainable living course sounds amazing. And if you want to start being a little bit more aware of how you're living your life and change it a little bit so that you have more input and have putting more action into it, maybe you want to grow your own gardens, maybe a little bit more aware about what you're buying at the supermarket, how you're getting to and from places, how can you have a more of a positive impact on your environment, get along to this course. Craig is going to be running it from the 4th of May for 8 weeks.
That's right, yeah.
8 weeks.
I want to say that as well as being more sustainable, the cool thing about it is a lot of the things that, you can do are actually cheaper, quite a lot of fun, and healthier as well.
Yeah.
So all those things kind of work together.
It's better living all round.
Yeah.
Yeah, this sounds great. Hey, thanks, Craig, for coming in and talking to us about that. Yeah,
thanks, I appreciate it.
And if you are interested, get onto that website and enrol, or ring them up and get your name down, because they need the numbers to get this course happening. But also, you don't want to miss out in case everybody's ringing in, and you don't want to have to wait till the following term. So do get onto it. Sounds great.
Have you ever wanted to learn Appalachian Mountain Clog Dancing? Well, sorry, Waiheke Night School can't help. But we do have a great range of courses covering everything from art to business, computing to first aid, gardening, languages, boat masters, and much more. Our Term 2 program is out now. Brochures are available from the Library and the Citizens Advice Bureau. Or Google Waiheke Night School. Courses start 4th of May. Pre-enrollment is essential. Waiheke Night School. Phone 372 6417.
Morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you on this lovely day?
Not too bad, thank you.
Now, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about utensils, like different knives and steels, which is the thing for sharpening your knives. And so, what should you have? How many knives and should you have in your kitchen when it comes to cutting up your meat and your chicken? And do you need like a different knife for your raw meats, and then another for your cooked, or
no? You just got to make sure
one sharp knife will
clean them in between. As far as knives go, you probably for home use would need a smallish knife, paring knife for your vegetable preparation. A filleting knife, one with a flexible blade for filleting fish, things like that. A boning knife if you are really adventurous.
Okay, now, so what does a boning knife look like?
Boning knife is used for boning meat, obviously.
Yeah.
That's why it's called a boning knife.
Yeah.
Blade about 5-6 inches,
yeah,
quite a strong blade. It's not flexible.
Not flexible.
and it's really designed for boning. Yeah. Can't really describe.
So is it quite a thin, I imagine it would be quite a thin blade?
It would be probably about 3/4 inch at the handle end.
Yeah.
And then it tapers off to a point so you can actually get in into the joints.
I've got one at home actually.
Prise them apart.
Yeah.
And then, you know, run down the side of bones, that sort of thing, to get the meat off. And you obviously want to get as much meat off the bone as possible. And got to be sharp.
Yeah. How often should you sharpen your knives?
You need to be constantly, depending on obviously how much work you're doing with them. We're sharpening the knives all the time at the shop.
And you sharpen them yourself just with a steel?
I do them on a stone.
Yeah.
I've actually bought a little electric sharpener, which is a bit of a cheat. But ideally you would do it on a stone.
Mm-hmm.
The natural blade or the edge of the blade needs constant attention because you're always blunting it. And that part of the knife is quite thin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gives it the sharpness. And you need to keep taking off the shoulder. It develops a bit of a square edge, so you need to get that on a stone and really take that square edge off it to keep your knife sharp, and just tittle it up now and again on a steel.
Yeah,
but probably once or twice a week you would need to do it, or we would need to do it, you know, in the shop on a stone. And then, you know, just use a steel just to keep the edge.
So with, like, I know from my knives in my kitchen, which are really blunt and terrible, and even when they are sharpened, they go blunt really quickly. Now, is that the difference between a good knife, like spending that extra money on a quality-made knife? Is it what it's made out of that makes it better, that keeps it sharper for longer, or what's the secret with a good knife?
It's really that edge. If you can, I can't show you a picture, but you would have two angles on the actual knife edge.
Yeah.
And once that starts to square off, that's how you get your blunt edge on your knife. So you need to go back onto your stone and just take that square off it and really keep it
tapered.
I can't remember the actual angles. You've got a 45 degree, and then you need another angle of about 30 degrees. But once you've lost that fine edge, you've basically got a blunt knife. Yes. Yeah.
What's a good brand name for a knife if you're looking for a good knife in your kitchen?
I've always used Victorinox.
Victorinox.
Yeah, that's a Swiss company.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of knives out there. Different people tend to have different preferences. I like the Victorinox. The handles fit my hands. Trident knives. A lot of people use those. I don't particularly like them because the handles are a different shape.
And can people just find them? I mean, where do you find a good knife? Can you just get them from your supermarket, or do you need to go specifically to To a certain shop?
There's a few shops around the House of Knives. Has little shops out in the shopping malls.
Yeah.
They've got a big place out in Mount Eden. There's a couple of other retailers. Do obviously sort of hospitality catering suppliers will have them. It is actually worth having a look in you know, the phone book or whatever, and finding
and sourcing,
these places and going, spending, you know.
What would you want to spend on a good knife? Sort of outlay.
Probably anywhere between sort of $60 and $100
Yeah, I guess the price can go through the roof depending on what quality.
But I mean, once you've bought a good quality knife, you've got it for years. As long as you don't use it as a screwdriver or prizing lids off paint and things like that.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that, actually.
So am I.
Yeah.
But,
so you know, and get a good stone as well and keep that knife sharpened.
Yeah. You get a good stone, you'll have two sides to it. There'll be a coarse side, which you do a lot of the work to get that shoulder off.
Yeah.
Off the edge, and then flip it over, which is a finer side, and that'll give you your the real sharp edge on your knife.
Okay, and then the next thing would be getting a good chopping block, a chopping board or a block.
A chopping board, yeah.
So now what I want to know is, are the plastic ones better or the wooden ones?
I think the plastic ones are horrible.
Yeah.
It was deemed many years ago that wooden ones were not hygienic, and we all had to have plastic chopping boards, plastic knives on your hand, handles for your knives. And then a few years later, that theory got blown out because the plastic chopping boards are actually harbour bacteria. The wood has a natural sort of antiseptic quality about it.
Wow.
They're easy to maintain. You scrub them down with a wire brush and salt.
Yeah, and salt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just if you do happen to use something rather heavy, like a cleaver, and you do start chopping holes in it, they're easy enough to sand down to level them. Level them off so you don't get any sort of nicks and cracks in them, which is something
idea.
That you can't do with the plastic ones. I just don't. We've got them at the shop. And you have to have different colours for different things.
So you have a different board for your chicken than you do for your red meats?
Yeah.
Yep. And same as like for fish, so you have like maybe one for your fish, one for chicken, and one for red meat.
What's it? Yellow for chicken, red for meat. Brown is for cooked meats. Green is for vegetables. Blue is fish, apparently.
Blue is fish. Yeah.
But you know, if you've got a wooden board and you scrub it and clean it. I think that you've only got one board, but they're just so much easier. They don't blunt your knives as quick.
Yeah.
Which is something I find with the plastic ones.
Oh, okay. Now when you've got your good knife, which might be a Victorinox or a Trident, you see, which seems
Trident,
to be a popular brand, and you've got yourself a good stone to keep your knife sharpened, and maybe a selection of wooden boards, chopping boards.
It wouldn't do you any harm to have two.
Definitely, I think. You've got your, you know, because you want to keep your sort of veggies off those ones as well. So what, I reckon, now that we've got all that sorted, I reckon you need to hit us with a good recipe. Have you got any good little recipes that for the winter that's coming up, now that it's getting cold? sort of had you in talking about soups at one point, but what's one of your favourite recipes for the winter? Now we're getting into the colder months.
Well, we just actually, I made some scotch broth the other day. Very little meat. I used a lot of lamb bones to make a good stock, and plenty of barley and a little bit of meat and some vegetables.
Yeah.
And it probably cost maybe $5 or $6 to make. Well, I've got another 2 or 3 meals left.
Yeah.
And I've had 2 meals out of it, so.
Wow.
You know, it wouldn't cost a great deal to make.
So is it
4 liters of soup?
Wow! And so you just put it on the boil, slow boil.
Make a good stock, and then cook your vegetables and meat and your barley in that stock.
Cool.
And if you don't need it all, you can freeze it.
Yeah.
So you'd make one big pot.
Yep, and freeze half of it.
And freeze half of it.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot easier.
Yeah. And what do you call that? Scotch broth?
Scotch broth, yeah.
Scotch broth, there you go. Some lamb bones.
A little bit of meat.
A little bit of meat.
Things like lamb neck chops, shoulder chops.
Yeah. Your veggies, things like celery.
Vegetables, celery, carrot, onion, leek.
Yeah.
Maybe potatoes or swede.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And then do you put in some lentils or anything, or soup mix, or just the veggies?
No, just the barley.
Yeah.
Barley. I mean, alternatively, you could use lentils or split peas.
Yeah.
Anything that bulk it up. Beans, butter beans, kidney beans.
And a bit of stock.
And stock.
Put it on the boil, slow boil, for, what do you recommend?
Well,
a good length of time.
Probably a good hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yep.
Just nice and slow. The main thing is to make a really good stock first.
Yeah.
Because that would, that's the basis of your
flavour.
Of a
good soup.
So, don't skimp on making stock.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's great. Well, there's some tips for you people if you're like me and in your kitchen drawer you've got a large array of blunt knives, and when you go to cut up your meat you have a hard time, or maybe you catch a fish and you're like, oh, God, you can't flood it because your knives are shocking. Get out there and hunt down maybe the House of Knives, or, get in your phone book and have a little look.
Mm-hmm.
And hunt down a Victoria
Victoria Knox. There's
Victoria
a whole
Knox.
Heap of things, heap of different brands. Like I say, I always use Victorinox, basically because they fit my hand. I like the weight. Some people like a lighter knife or a heavier knife.
Depending on your preference.
Go and have a play with them and see what suits.
There you go. And get yourself some good chopping boards, some wooden ones, and a good stone, and get yourself set up for winter and make some nice, hearty, meaty dinners. Hey, thanks, Steve, for coming in and talking to us again.
Okay.
We look forward to him next time. Maybe we can get some stock recipes out of him next time, so we're all geared up for our winter hearty, meaty dinners.
Okie doke.
Thanks, Steve.
Cheers. Thank you.
You've been listening to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life, our weekly magazine show focusing on what Waiheke people are thinking and doing. Island Life is brought to you by Placemakers every Saturday morning from 10 till 12. We replay the interviews on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and they're also available as a download from our website www.waihikiradio.org.nz.